I hope a lot of you got to participate in the Caris Global Prayer Walk, which ended yesterday. Thanks if you did that. But on November 23rd, day 23, we prayed for Poland, and the devotional for that day was written by me. So I hope you got to read it and participate in that. But the verses in that are what we're going to look at tonight. So we'll begin at Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. The phrase in your Bible to focus on in verse 30 is strive together with me. Strive together. Now, the root of the word that appears there, strive together, is a rather long Greek word, but in the middle of it is agon, A-G-O-N. Agon, strive together. And if you think about the word agon very much, you know that you have an English word that comes from it. Agony. Agon. Agony. So in Romans 15:30, strive together with me is quite woodenly agonize along with me. Be in the agon with me. Now, what is an agon? You know, you can understand what agony is, but an agon is actually a place. It's the place of agony. The word agon, you know, some of you might recall when they would take the gladiators and people like that into the Colosseum, and somebody would end up coming out dead out of that. That was called the agon. You were in a fight to the death in the agon. It's the place of the agon. Well, before we come back to Romans 15:13, let's take a little journey concerning this word to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Now, this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in Luke 22, verse 44, it says, "And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground." Being in agony, that's our word. Being in the agon. Being, we could say, in a fight to the death. And you do know that the devil thought he won that fight to the death. But of course, Jesus overcame, but he was in a fight to the death, being in the agon, in agony, praying very fervently, sweat drops of blood. And then you notice in verse 45, when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow, and said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation or succumb to temptation." Now, in the passage in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 45, we actually see that this process of Jesus asking Peter and James and John to pray with him, and then Jesus praying, and then he comes back to them and finds them asleep. That happened three times, according to the account in Matthew. So in Matthew 26, verse 38, he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." Verse 40, he came and found them sleeping. Verse 41, keep watching and praying. Verse 42, he went back a second time and prayed. Verse 43, he came back a second time and found them sleeping. Verse 44, he went again and prayed a third time. And verse 45, he came back to them the third time and they were still sleeping. Jesus was urging Peter, James, and John to, in the words of Paul, strive together with him in prayer. He was urging them to pray. And how did Peter, James, and John do with that? Well, they just kind of fell asleep on the rocks nearby. They didn't strive together. They didn't enter into the agon with Jesus in prayer, even though he had invited them to do it. They fell asleep. That agon, the place of battle or warfare, is an experience of intense spiritual warfare. Now, that's what Paul is talking about in Romans 15 as we go back there. When he says, strive together with me in your prayers, Romans 15:30. Enter into the agon with me in your prayers. He's asking the Romans to enter into deep spiritual warfare with Paul in prayer. Now, what was that all about? You know, Paul is intending to come and see them at Rome, and he's thanking them for their fellowship and their financial support and some other things that are going on here. But do you know what's really on Paul's heart? Romans 15, verse 23. No further place for me in these regions, and since I have had for many years a longing to come to you. Verse 24. Whenever I go to Spain, I hope to see you in passing. I'm going to Spain. Why is Paul going to Spain? He's going there to bring the gospel to Spain. He's going there to begin churches in Spain. Verse 28. I will go on by way of you to Spain. When Paul asks the Romans to strive together with him in prayer, to enter into that agon with him in prayer, he's asking for the expansion of the gospel, for the reaching of new people and new places with the gospel. And whether you are aware of it or not, that is the most intense spiritual warfare that there is. Let me say it again. That is the, without question, without even a close second, that is the most intense spiritual warfare that there is. Now, why is that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 tell us that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. He's blinded their eyes. He's blinded their minds so that they won't see the light of the gospel. That same Satan that was in intense warfare with Jesus for Jesus' life in the garden is intently blinding the lost and doing everything he can to keep you from bringing the gospel to them. There's nothing that you face in life that is greater spiritual warfare than this. You know, I don't care if that means, well, but, you know, 10 evil people are standing on the hill and they're going to shoot at you with machine guns. Them shooting at you with machine guns is not nearly as intense spiritual warfare as Satan trying to prevent you from sharing the gospel with lost people. That's what Paul's talking about here. And he's asking the Romans to strive together with him in prayer for his ministry of the expansion of the gospel onward even into Spain. Now in 2 Corinthians 4, and you can look there in verses 4 through 6, there's one thing, and only one, that will dispel the blindness, the darkness that Satan is putting over unsaved people. Only one thing. What is it? It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Just as the Lord said in creation, let there be light, and there was what? Light. In the gospel, the Lord says, let there be light. It is the light of Christ, the face of Christ in the gospel. It's the light of Christ that shines from the gospel that breaks through, and then people can believe. Enter into that agony, Paul says, with me, because there's illustration after illustration that the devil will do everything he can to stop Paul, won't he? You know, he gets Paul thrown in prison. He gets Paul, you know, swimming around in the ocean when his ship is sinking. He gets Paul beaten to the point of death. But you know what? The power of the gospel through Paul's ministry is greater than any of those things. And the power of the gospel in our lives is greater than any of those things as well. So, enter into the agon, he says, with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those in Judea, my service for Jerusalem might be accomplished, that I may come to you in Rome in joy, and then go on to Spain. So join in prayer. I think it is tragic. I frankly think it's embarrassing that you have a list of names on your prayer sheet tonight of unsaved people that you're praying for, and some of those have been on there for years? I don't think anybody is agonizing in prayer for these people. I don't think anybody is. Then you say, well, why don't they get saved? Is anybody sharing the gospel with them? Is anybody entering into prayer with those people who even know them? I think it's embarrassing that there aren't 5, 10, 15 times more names on there. Why not? Why not? Paul says, strive together with me in prayer. Paul doesn't say, well, what we need is a strategy. Paul doesn't say, what we need is a method. Paul says, what we need is the preaching of the gospel and people praying for it. So, I trust you'll take this as not only a motivation to pray, but as the only way of evangelism, the only way of church growth, the only way of the development of new churches. Everything else is a sham. Everything else is just human methodology that might be humanly successful in terms of maybe getting a crowd or maybe getting numbers, but people don't get saved. They don't get saved. So pray. And may that be a challenge as we pray. We spend so much time every Wednesday night talking about who's sick and who's this and what's going on in the country and whatever, and so little time even caring about who's lost and needs Christ. The prayer ministry is extremely imbalanced and continues to be so, no matter what I or anybody else would say about it. It just continues to go the way it goes. So enter into prayer in agony. You know, I hope this makes somebody irritated enough that they will say, you know what? I'm upset. Well, why are you upset? Well, I'm upset about what you said. No, be upset that nobody on your prayer list is getting saved. Enter into that. Enter into that. And when you do, that is a prayer that aligns with the gospel, and that is certainly on the heart of the Apostle Paul, and it's certainly on the heart of Jesus, who is himself the very light of the gospel. Heavenly Father, as we pray tonight, may we realize in a deep way the darkness here, the darkness around us, is even darker and darker and darker by the day. Lord, may it be that there be many who are snatched out of the clutches of the devil, out of the very powers of hell. May they be snatched out. May they see the light of the gospel, hear it, and be saved, trusting Jesus for that salvation. Lord, thank you that Paul did get to go to Spain. Thank you that the Romans apparently did enter into prayer with him. And Lord, may we tonight enter into that prayer, that place of agon, of deep spiritual warfare, as Jesus himself prays these prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.